ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जायमुदीरये भुजायमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेष्वभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवतीरुत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्टिकी कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकीनन्दनाय च नन्दगोपकुमाराय गोविन्दाय नमो नमः। Grantha Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 19, chapter entitled The Island of Jambudvip, Verse 19. Yes. So, translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. These verses are not easy to recite. They are in a meter that we Kaliyuga brains can't fathom. So, the people who take birth in this tract of land are divided according to the qualities of material nature, the modes of goodness, sattva-guna, passion,
rajoguna.
Ignorance, tamoguna. Some of them are born as exalted personalities, some are ordinary human beings, and some are extremely abominable. For in Bharatvarsha, one takes birth exactly according to one's past karma. If one's position is ascertained by a bona fide spiritual master, and one is properly trained to engage in the service of Lord Vishnu according to the four social divisions, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, and Shudra, and the four spiritual divisions, Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprastha and Sannyasi, one's life becomes perfect. Purport. For further information, one should refer to Bhagavad Gita 14.18 and 1842-45. Sri Ramanujacharya writes in his book, Vedanta Sangraha, Srila Prabhupada quotes a long Sanskrit prose. Quoting from Vishnu Puran 389, the great sage Parashar Muni has recommended, Varanashramacharvata purushena parahapuman Vishnuraradhite pantha nanyatyotto shakaranam. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu, is worshipped by the proper execution of prescribed duties in the system of Varana and Ashrama. There is no other way to satisfy the Lord. In the land of Bharatvarsha, the institution of Varanashram may be easily adopted. At the present moment, certain demoniac sections of the population of Bharatvarsha are disregarding the system of Varanashram Dharma. Because there is no institution to teach people how to become Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas and Shudras, or Brahmacharis, Grihasthas, Vanaprasthas and Sannyasis, these demons want a classless society. This is resulting in chaotic conditions. In the name of secular government, unqualified people are taking the supreme governmental posts. No one is being trained to act according to the principles of Varanashram Dharma. And thus people are becoming increasingly degraded and are heading in the direction of animal life. The real aim of life is liberation. But unfortunately the opportunity for liberation is being denied to people in general, and therefore their human lives are being spoiled. The Krishna consciousness movement, however, is being propagated all over the world to re-establish the Varanashram Dharma system and thus save human society from gliding down to hellish life. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam
स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूप कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरौ श्रीयुत पदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातां सहगण रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजन सहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपादान् सहगण ललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च नमः ॐ विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्त स्वामी इति नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे नमो महावदन्याय कृष्ण प्रेम प्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्ण चैतन्य नाम्ने गौरद्विषे नमः हे कृष्णा करुणा सिंधो दीनबंधो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिकाकांत राधाकांत नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचिन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिंधुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधार श्रीवासादि गौरभक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
हरे कृष्णा So I seek the blessings of all the senior devotees that I can speak something about Srimad Bhagavatam. Today morning we are discussing from the fifth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. The section from chapters 16 to 25 talks about the sacred universe, about how dharma and devotion pervade all the aspects of the universe. And while describing the sacred vision of the cosmos, in this chapter, Shukadeva Goswami is focusing on the island of Jambudvip. And within that, the land that we presently live in is Bharatvarsha. And here, Srila Prabhupada is explaining in the purport that according to the modes people have, they are given appropriate engagements in the Varnashram Dharma, by which they can make spiritual advancement and ultimately attain liberation from material existence. So today I will focus on the theme of Varnashram Dharma. Varnashram Dharma enables us to find ourselves materially while we find ourselves spiritually. This is going to be the center of the class. I'll explain this. It enables us to find ourselves materially while we find ourselves spiritually. What does it mean? Find ourselves spiritually means that we are all souls. As souls, we are parts and parcels of Krishna, and we attain supreme happiness in loving and serving Him purely and selflessly. So that is dharma at the highest, purest level. So dharma means we love and serve Krishna purely and we gain supreme happiness in that. This is mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam 1.26. Savai pumsam paro dharmo yato bhakti radhokshaje ahaitukiya pratihata yayatma suprasidati. So that dharma is the supreme dharma which enables us to love the Supreme Lord without motivation and without interruption. That alone will satisfy our heart and soul. So this is dharma at the highest level. However, this is not the only meaning of dharma. The word dharma has multiple meanings. So see, at the transcendental level, to love and serve Krishna is dharma. But we are right now not transcendental. We are somewhere in the three modes, conditioned by our past samskaras and our present circumstances. So now say, if these are the three modes and this is transcendence, so at the transcendental level we will naturally be happy in loving and serving Krishna. But when we are in the conditioned stage,
we don't always experience that same happiness. So now, the whole purpose of life is, say I am somewhere here. Then from here to go to here. That is the purpose of life. So to go from within the modes to transcendence. Now when I am going this way up, there are two things that are required. One is, when I am living in the material world, I should be able to live harmoniously. And secondly, I should be able to make spiritual advancement smoothly. So these two purposes of harmonious material living and smooth spiritual advancement are served by Varnashram. Srila Prabhupada explains that in Varnashram, the Varna part is for the body and the Ashram part is for the soul. The Varna enables us to take care of our body according to our material nature. Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, these are all ultimately material natures of the body that we have. And when we live in this world according to our bodily nature, we can be productive and satisfied. These are two things that happen when we work according to our nature. We are productive. Because if I am doing something according to my nature, I can do it well. Because that's what nature has equipped me to do. So a Brahmana can do intellectual work very well. If a Brahmana is told to do the Vaishya work of, say, earning money, the Brahmana will be pathetic at that. On the other hand, if a Vaishya is told to do work of a Brahmana, the Vaishya will find that work intellectual torture. Who will study so much? Who will memorize so many things? And what is the point of it all? How much money are you going to get by it? So, we will be unproductive if we won't work according to our nature. So, materially harmonious means we will be productive when we work according to our nature. And secondly, we will be satisfied. At a material level also, there is some happiness that comes when we act according to our nature. So, when we are productive and we are satisfied, then our material life is harmonious. So, when I talked about this, say I am somewhere over here now. This is ignorance, passion, goodness, this is transcendence. So, now the Varna aspect enables me to live harmoniously at a material level. Of course, material life ultimately is never fully harmonious. There is always the Trivittapa, there is always Janma Mrityu Jaravyadi. But still, if we are living disharmonious with our nature, we will be far more miserable than what the material world requires us to be. There is a certain amount of misery inevitable in this world. But that doesn't mean that we have to necessarily make our lives more miserable. So, now from where we are, so the dharma according to our nature is material. For example, Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. This is essentially material dharma. As Prabhupada quotes here, from 1842 to 45, these four verses describe the activities of Brahmachari, of Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya and Shudra. This is material dharma. Now, from the material dharma, while one is practicing in material life, one also has to purify oneself so that one goes to the spiritual level. So that is essentially sadhana bhakti. So Shuddha bhakti is practiced at the transcendental level. When we have transcended the modes, then we spontaneously love Krishna. And we do whatever Krishna wants us to do for His pleasure and for our eternal happiness also. So that means the word dharma has three connotations. First is, at a transcendental level, dharma means ahaituki apratihata bhakti, unmotivated, uninterrupted devotional service. At a second material level, dharma refers to varnashram dharma, acting according to our material prescribed duties. And thirdly, dharma also refers to sadhana bhakti. Yetu dharma mritamitam yathoktam paryupasate shraddhana matparama bhaktaste tivame priyaha. In the 12th chapter, after Krishna describes the qualities of the devotees from 12.13 to 19, in this last verse, 12.20, he describes what I am telling you. This process of devotional service, dharma amritamidam. It is the eternal dharma. And if you practice it faithfully, yetu dharmamritam idam yathoktam paryupasate. If you practice it faithfully, Krishna doesn't use the word abhyas, practice, he uses the word upasate. We worship this process of devotional service. Shraddhadana mat parama. With faith, understanding me to be the supreme goal. What will happen? Even if you just practice sadhana bhakti, bhaktaste tiva me priyaha, you will be extremely dear to me. Shraddharas bihari bhagavan ki cha. So, that means dharma is that is being referred to over here is sadhana bhakti. So the word dharma has these three connotations. At a transcendental level, ahaitukya prataha bhakti. At a material level, varanashram dharma. And at a transitional level, it is the sadhana bhakti. So now, we at our stage cannot practice ahaitukya prataha bhakti. That is our aspiration. We want to come to that level. So what we practice at our level is sadhana bhakti. So Krishna gives this downward hierarchy from 12.8 to 12.12 in the Bhagavad Gita. 12.8 he talks about Shuddha Bhakti. Then 12.9 onwards he talks about various levels of sadhana bhakti. So that means right now when we are practicing spiritual life, among these three connotations, three meanings of the word dharma, we aspire for the transcendental level of dharma. At the same time, we practice these two levels. Varanashram dharma, that is our material duty. And then there is sadhana bhakti, which is transitional dharma, which takes us from the material level to the spiritual level. So, varanashram dharma in and of itself is not necessarily transcendental. If we look at the qualities which will be described in the Bhagavad Gita, 18.42 to 45, none of the qualities talk about bhakti. Shamodama tapashaucham shantirajam evacha jnanam vijnanam astityam brahma karma svabhavajam. When Krishna describes the qualities of a brahmana, it takes sense control, mind control, tolerance, peacefulness, knowledge, realization, faith in scripture. He gives a list. But bhakti is not mentioned over there. Similarly, if you look at the qualities of kshatriya, vaishya, shudra, there is no mention of bhakti. Because varnashram in and of itself is a material social arrangement that can be used for a transcendental purpose. And that's why this verse which Srila Prabhupada quotes from the Vishnu Purana is so important. And a similar verse comes in the Bhagavatam also. Just two verses after the Paradharma verse. This verse is telling, which Prabhupada has quoted, Varnashrama charvata purushena parapraman bhaktira Vishnuraradhite pantha nanyatattosha karanam. The whole purpose of varnashram is to satisfy Lord Vishnu. So again now, these three left, I am not referring to the three as goodness, passion, ignorance. This is paradharma. This is shuddha dharma. And this is varnashram dharma. So now what this verse is telling us is, varnashram dharma should be practiced for the satisfaction of Lord Vishnu. Then it will enable us to rise spiritually. Now a brahmana can be a mundane intellectual also. I mean, an intellectual can have brahminical attributes, skills, but that person, if the intellectual skills are not used for practicing devotional service, then being intellectual may give the person some material satisfaction, but it will not lead to any spiritual purification. It will not lead to any spiritual advancement. So, that means this varnashram dharma should be practiced in such a way that when we satisfy Lord Vishnu, I am a Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, whatever I am, I do it so that I satisfy Lord Vishnu. And then it will also help me in my sadhana bhakti. So now from our practical point of view, how does all this work out in today's scenario? Today we don't have society divided into the four varnas. Of course, there is the jati system in India today. It is not there in other parts of the world. And even if we have the jati system, it is largely based on birth. So it doesn't, as Srila Prabhupada talks about in the purport, some people feel this is discrimination. And so they want to end the system. And one way the Indian government tries trying to end the system is by having reservations for the lower caste, so that they can, it is the idea was they were exploited for so many centuries. So now they should be facilitated. So what is being done is, they are trying to end discrimination by further discrimination. They feel they were discriminated against, now let us discriminate for them. But this simply continues a parampara of discrimination. It doesn't lead to any elevation, purification, transformation. Actually speaking, the essence of Varnashram, as I said at the start of the class, is that it helps us to find ourselves materially as we find ourselves spiritually. So to find ourselves materially means we act according to our material nature so that we are reasonably satisfied when we are living in material life. And as we find ourselves spiritually, that means as we practice sadhana bhakti and realize our spiritual nature. So, varnashram dharma is material. Sadhana bhakti is transcendental. When a sadhana bhakta practices varnashram dharma, then varnashram dharma can also be spiritualized. But in and of itself, it does not have to be spiritual. It can be spiritualized. So, when we talk about dharma, we need to look at the cultural aspect at any religious activity. There is a cultural aspect and there is a transcendental aspect. There is a spiritual aspect. So, let's understand the difference between the cultural aspect and the transcendental aspect of various dharmic activities. For example, many, say, ISKCON temples or the Govindas or other place, we may have something called Pizza Prasad. Now, many traditional people, when they come to the temple, when they hear the word Pizza Prasad, they get intellectually short-circuited. They just can't figure out, you know, Prasad, how can you call Pizza as Prasad? Their idea of prasad is, you know, there is some religious ritual in the temple or in the home altar, and after that some sugar is distributed, some jaggery is distributed, or maybe some pedha is distributed. So their idea of prasad is some small morsels of food that are distributed after some religious ritual. So their understanding of prasad is a cultural understanding. That in the culture that they have lived in, they have seen, okay, prasad means this. Now that cultural understanding is correct. But it is not a complete understanding. The spiritual understanding of prasad is that whatever is offered to Krishna with love and devotion, when he accepts it and gives us his remnants, what is left for us is prasad. So from the spiritual perspective, you know, any food, as long as it is in a harmony with the principles of devotion, if it is offered to Krishna, it becomes prasad. So prasad, from the spiritual point of view, can be any food. It can be pizza, it can be pakoda, it can be puri, it can be chowmein, whatever. So how does it become prasad? Because prasad is not limited to some culturally specific food items. So there is a cultural understanding of prasad, that is certain food items which are traditionally offered in the temples. And there is a spiritual understanding. The spiritual principle is whatever is offered to Krishna becomes prasad. So, this cultural and spiritual can sometimes go in harmony and can sometimes be in conflict. What does it mean? Now, for example, say when we, say in India, when we have prasad, so normally speaking, if we have some, say, Western item or an Italian item or a Chinese item, so at that time, there is pizza prasad. So now, when the pizza prasad is offered, or as compared to that, say, some traditional item is there. There is some puri prasad is there. So both are in their own way delicious, but the cultural aspect can sometimes help us to remember Krishna and sometimes obstruct us from remembering Krishna. How is that? It depends on what kind of past conditionings we have had. So, if I have been eating pizza in my pre-devotional days, where I go to parties and I sit with all kinds of materialistic people, and then I have been eating pizza at that time, so when I start eating pizza, what happens is, I don't remember, even if it is pizza prasad, I don't remember prasad, I remember pizza. And pizza reminds me of so many other things that are devotionally unfavorable. So, now what has happened to some extent within ISKCON is, you know, Srila Prabhupada say, India has its traditional culture. ISKCON is the spiritual expression of that traditional culture. And then Srila Prabhupada established ISKCON to take this spiritual culture all over the world. So the purpose was the traditional spiritual culture. So ISKCON could be like a funnel, a channel, which takes the spiritual culture of India all over the world. That has definitely happened. But along with that, what has also happened is the culture of the world has come through ISKCON to India. You know, the materialistic culture, to some extent, it's not necessarily materialistic if it is used for Krishna service, but it is for each of us to take our own moral inventory. For example, if we can have rock kirtans, so we can have rock music with Hare Krishna mantra singing. Now it is at one level spiritual because the Hare Krishna mantra is there. But what is spiritual also depends on what my consciousness is. So when there is rock mantra, am I remembering the mantra or am I remembering the rock? That is something which I have to take inventory myself. So for example, people who are in the West, for them rock is very common. And when rock mantra is there, for them the new thing is the mantra. So they may be remembering the mantra, the same rock mantra may help them make spiritual advancement. On the other hand, that same rock mantra, when I am hearing it, I am not hearing the mantra, I am hearing the rock. And I am not making necessarily spiritual advancement by that. So the point which I am making over here is, there is the cultural aspect and there is the spiritual aspect. So sometimes the cultural and the spiritual aspects can go together in harmony. And sometimes they can be in disharmony. That will depend on individual to individual. That individual's consciousness will determine that. So now how does this apply to Varnashram Dharma? So the principle of Varnashram Dharma primarily is not to divide society into four Varnas. That is not the essence. The essence is that there should be harmonious living materially by which people can make advancement spiritually. So with this background, now suppose there is somebody who is from a low caste background, Dalit or somebody like that, and that person has been exploited a lot in the name of the caste system. And it is true that there has been a lot of exploitation, although the extent is often far more exaggerated than what it was really. But there has been exploitation. So if somebody comes from such a background and then that person hears that, you know, actually society should be divided into Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, he says, that means you want to continue all the exploitation again? He says, no, not at all. That is not the purpose. The purpose is to have a social organization by which people can practice their material life peacefully, harmoniously, and also make spiritual advancement smoothly. So how that will work out in today's society will vary according to time, place, circumstance. Just as at the time of the Goswamis, they would not have conceived of pizza prasad. Because that is a cultural expression. The cultural explanation will be time specific. The spiritual principle is universal. The spiritual principle is the food that we eat should be offered to Krishna. But the cultural expression of that spiritual principle will be contextual, will be time specific. So pizza prasad will be one way which in current times is acceptable. Similarly, Varnashram Dharma is a cultural expression. The cultural expression of how society was traditionally divided into four Varnas. Now, can that division be replicated in today's society? Now the principle here is, Srila Prabhupada would say, this is not an artificial division. It is a natural division. Natural division means, actually the precise word for Varna is not caste. The word caste comes from it's an English word, it comes from the European culture. And there, caste was often used in a racial sense. So it was very race specific. Whereas Varna is more of based on inherent nature. So actually the four Varnas are essentially four human types. There are four different types of human beings, and these four types are there all over the world. And these four human types are the intellectuals, the administrators, the business persons, and the general workers. In any society that we go anywhere in the world, these four divisions of people will be there. So then, now there are two situations, I said. Okay, Varanashram is an artificial discriminative division of society. We say that is not correct. Then we say Varanashram is a natural intrinsic division of society. Then we may say, what is the need to create Varanashram? If Varanashram is natural, then it is already naturally there. There are some people are intellectuals, some people are administrators. So it's a natural division of society. Then why do we need to do anything at all? It's already there. Yes. The division of society, the four human types are natural. But in today's society, people don't naturally discover their nature. In today's society, people don't naturally discover their nature. That means, in today's society, often there is so much pressure that people just don't know what is their duty, what are they supposed to do. Everybody is pressurized into a rut. Once there was a case before a court came. The case was parental conflict over the child. And what is the conflict? The father said, I want my son to become an engineer. And the mother was saying, I want my son to become a doctor. So the judge said, you know, we live in a democratic country. You know, instead of you parents having a conflict, ask the child. What does the child want to do? Become an engineer or a doctor? The parents said, that's not possible. I said, why is that? The child is not yet born. So, in today's society, there is so much stereotyped grinding of people into certain pre-existing or pre-favored modes, basically. So, in today's society, even materially speaking, most people don't discover what is their nature. And therefore, they leave alone being spiritually satisfied, people often are not even materially satisfied. And that's why there is an increasing problem that is there in today's society. It is called as a midlife crisis. By the time people come to the age of 35, 40, 45, now often they feel that I haven't achieved anything in my life. They're not talking about the spiritual advancement, but even materially they feel I'm not satisfied in my life. I didn't achieve anything worthwhile. Because they were pushed into doing things which they didn't like to do, and now they feel resentful about it. So it can be quite a traumatic experience, this midlife crisis. So the four divisions are natural. All human beings will fall within these four human types. But it is not that people will automatically discover this. In today's society, somebody may be an intellectual, but that person may be forced by social and cultural pressure to work maybe as a business person. And the person will not be satisfied materially also. So therefore, when Srila Prabhupada established ISKCON, now we will see a very subtle and very significant progression in Srila Prabhupada's thought. If you look at Srila Prabhupada's letters, conversations, lectures from 1966 to 1970, they are all talking about how this Varnashram Dharma has become caste system and it has failed and there is no need to revive this caste system. We should just practice devotional service and become transcendental and go back home, back to God. That is the emphasis in his lectures and conversations and letters. However, from 1970 onwards, especially from 73-74 till 77, before he departed, we see a significant evolution in his thought. Srila Prabhupada says, that Varnashram Dharma must be established. In fact, in his last year, he said Varnashram Dharma is 50% of my work. 50% of my mission is still remaining. So what is happening over here? What is Srila Prabhupada doing? Actually, as I said, there is the cultural aspect and there is the transcendental aspect. You remember the three levels, three meanings of dharma? There is the paradharma, then there is sadhana bhakti, and there is varnashram dharma. So, first Srila Prabhupada emphasized the paradharma and the sadhana bhakti. Yes, we are all souls, we should just transcend. But then, as ISKCON started spreading, then it became clear that devotees were not able to transcend so quickly. Now Srila Prabhupada got devotees married and he found that many of the marriages were not working. There were many reasons for that. But as the marriages started collapsing, one of the main reasons was there was incompatibility, cultural incompatibility, individual incompatibility, whatever. And similarly, so Srila Prabhupada established two broad divisions of the ashrams. You know, there was the householder and there was the renounced. Srila Prabhupada introduced sannyas ashram also. And there were a lot of difficulties for the sannyasis also. Many of the sannyasis couldn't maintain their standards. And Srila Prabhupada said that if you are transcendental, then why are you falling like this? That means you are not transcendental. So, varnashram, so the idea is sadhana bhakti is meant to help us transcend. But transcending doesn't happen overnight. It's a lifetime journey, sometimes a multi-lifetime journey. And for that purpose, we need a harmonious material arrangement. And that material arrangement is Varnashram Dharma. So, in today's society, how will Varnashram Dharma be determined? Srila Prabhupada, in his times, did not go about labeling people. Labeling devotees, okay, you are a Vaishya, you are a Shudra, you are a Brahmana. Srila Prabhupada did not do like that. Srila Prabhupada said, all of us are Vaishnavas and whatever service is required for a particular person, let that person do that service. So, Srila Prabhupada gave different services to different devotees, but in general, he also looked at individual dispositions and he engaged devotees according to what would inspire them the most. When Srila Prabhupada was in London, at that time the movement had spread quite significantly in Europe, and London was like the European headquarters of the Krishna consciousness movement at that time. The three couples, they had come first to London, and then from there they had met George Harrison, and the Krishna consciousness movement had spread rapidly across Europe. So when Srila Prabhupada had come there, all his leaders from Germany, from Portugal, from France, they all came to meet him. And Srila Prabhupada was asking each of them, So how are things in London? How are things in France? How are things in Italy? And they were all giving reports. So there was one young devotee over there. His name was Ishan Prabhu. So the Ishan Prabhu saw that everybody was coming and reporting their services to Srila Prabhupada. And he said, I don't have anything to do for Srila Prabhupada. So he approached, after the meeting got over, he approached Srila Prabhupada personally. And he said, Prabhupada, can you give me something that I can do for Krishna? Prabhupada looked at him in the eyes and said, what do you want to do for Krishna? He said, Prabhupada, whatever you tell me, I will do. Prabhupada looked at him squarely in the eyes and says, what do you want to do for Krishna? He started thinking. He said, I had never thought that, okay, I am supposed to think what I want to do for Krishna. Then he said, no, Prabhupada, whatever you tell me, I will do. What do you want? Prabhupada became very grave and he said, what do you want to do for Krishna? So he became very thoughtful. He said, Prabhupada, I'll have to think about it. And then he thought for a few days, and before Srila Prabhupada left, he came back and he said that, Prabhupada, I have seen that in our kirtans we have these mridangas which are so wonderful. They take the kirtan to a higher level. But often these mridangas break. So he was some sort of artist. So he said, I was thinking that we get mridangas from Mayapur, clay mridangas, and often they break. I was thinking of making mridangas with other materials which are locally available over here. And he said, those mridangas will not break so easily. So Prabhupada smiled broadly. He said, yes, very good. Your god brothers are very passionate. He says, make the mridanga in such a way that even if they throw it down, it will not break. And then he started making those mridangas, and that became his lifelong service. So similarly, at another time, so here, what is the point over here? Srila Prabhupada encouraged devotees to take individual initiative to discover how they can best serve Krishna. So this doesn't mean one become independent or whimsical or arbitrary, defying one's authorities, but it simply means that, you know, Srila Prabhupada encouraged devotees. Okay, what do you feel inspired to do for Krishna? And you do that in Krishna's service. So the idea, this is basically the idea of Varanashram. The idea is that all of us have certain material talents. And when we use those talents in Krishna's service, we will be able to do the service well, and we will also be satisfied in doing such service, and we will be productive in that service. At another time, from the 1970s, book distribution picked up with tremendous momentum all over ISKCON. And as book distribution started spreading, there were some devotees who were excellent book distributors. And these devotees, they formed a team and they came to Prabhupada and said, Srila Prabhupada, as we have distributed so many books, we have found that there are certain statements that we make, certain expressions that we have, certain gestures that we do. But when we do these statements, these expressions, these gestures, then people take books. So can we go around temple to temple to temple and train the devotees to learn these expressions, gestures and statements, and then your books can be distributed rapidly? And Srila Prabhupada heard this, he became very grave. Very grave. And Srila Prabhupada said, he says, Krishna consciousness is individual, voluntary and spontaneous. When the soul feels inspired to serve Krishna, then devotional service is performed. So he says, don't teach the techniques, inspire the people to serve Krishna. Inspire the devotees to serve Krishna. So what is it? Prabhupada said, Krishna consciousness is, devotional service is individual, voluntary and spontaneous. Individual. Every one of us is irreducibly individual. You and I are different, and that's how Krishna has made us to be. So we are all the individual, and when we want to serve Krishna, it's voluntary. Now, each one of us has to individually choose to serve Krishna. And when it is serve, we serve Krishna, it has to be spontaneous. It cannot be forced. So it's individual, voluntary and spontaneous. And the essence of devotional service is, when the soul feels inspired to serve Krishna, then devotional service is performed. So what we can get from others is the inspiration. Certain techniques we may learn, but the techniques are not the essence. The techniques may not sell the books always, and even if they sell the books, that will not what will transform the heart. That is not what will please Krishna. Krishna is pleased when we have the desire to serve Him, and our desire to serve Him inspires a similar desire to serve Him in the heart of someone else. That is the essence of Krishna consciousness. So, actually speaking, the whole principle of Varanashram, as it will be applied in today's society, will be based on devotees, with the guidance of their seniors, understanding their own talents, understanding their own inspirations, and then serving Krishna according to those talents and inspirations. So we will have many improvisations. Improvisations means current arrangements, which may not be the traditional models, but whatever way things work out. In today's society, by which people can serve Krishna. So for example, so the whole principle of Varanashram is that people live harmonious materially while making advancement spiritually. That is the basic principle of the social arrangement. So that may work out differently in different situations. For example, some devotees may decide to retreat to a farm community. And in the farm community, they set a model of eco-friendly living. And they practice simple living and high thinking. Now, that is a very powerful model of alternative traditional culture in today's materialistic culture. It's valuable. However, that is not what everybody is likely to do. Srila Prabhupada wanted the eco-friendly rural communities, and Srila Prabhupada also wanted vibrant urban communities. He wanted the temples to be in the heart of the city. In a conversation, one Western scholar asked Srila Prabhupada, Swamiji, you are building temples all over the world. So he says, what do you think is the best location for a temple? So Srila Prabhupada said, a temple is like a hospital. So, where is a hospital best located? It is the place where there are most sick people. It can serve those people the most. And he said, the material contamination today is most in the cities. And that's why we want temples in the cities, in the heart of the cities, where people can get a spiritual retreat, a place for spiritual solace amidst the stress and the tension of material life. So, a significant part of our outreach will definitely be in the cities. Now in the cities, there will be some limited number of brahmacharis who will be living inside the temples. But along with that, there will be mostly our movement will be grihasthas who will be having their own jobs and their own careers and their own families, and along with that, bhakti will be an important part of their life. So Krishna, as I mentioned in 12.8, he talks about parabhakti. Then 12.9, he talks about sadhana bhakti. And 12.10, he talks about karma mishra bhakti. So 12.9, he talks about sadhana bhakti. Ata chittam samadhatum nashaknosi maistiram abhyasa yogena tato mami chaptum dhananjaya. He is telling, the previous verse says, fix your mind on Krishna. That was 12.8. Now 12.9 he says, if you cannot fix the mind on Krishna, ata chittam samadhatum nashaknosi, if you cannot fix the mind on Krishna, then abhyasa yogena tato mamichaptum dhananjaya, by the practice of abhyas yoga, that is by sadhana bhakti, increase your desire for attaining me. And if you can't do that, now abhyas yoga is sadhana bhakti. So now we do sadhana bhakti in the morning program that we have every day. But we can't do sadhana bhakti 24 hours a day. So then there's one more level that that's talked about in the next verse, 12.10. Krishna says, abhyase pya samarthosi mat karma paramo bhava madartham api karmani kurvan siddhim avapsyasi. So he says, if you cannot do abhyas, abhyase pya samarthosi, then mat karma paramo bhava, work for me, make me the goal of your work. Mad artham api karmani, if you work in this way for my sake, kurvan siddhim avapsyasi, you will attain siddhi, you will attain perfection. So this level of working for Krishna has two implicit levels in it. So one is, say we have the brahmacharis who work for Krishna directly. That means whatever services they are doing, that is for Krishna. They don't take any salary, they don't take any financial emoluments. They are working directly for Krishna. Another level is the grihasthas who are working for Krishna in a different way. They are having their jobs, they are having their families, but it's all ultimately meant for Krishna. A part of their earnings they give for Krishna for charity. Along with that, their homes are centered on Krishna. And they are taking care of the family members as devotees of Krishna. Or as if they are not yet devotees, as potential devotees of Krishna. So, this is both working for Krishna. So this working for Krishna is the way we practice Varnashram Dharma in the society. So we have our sadhana bhakti that we do, that is the morning program, and along with that we have varieties of services that will depend on our ashram, that will depend on our inclination, that is our varna, but we have varieties of services that we do. So now for those who are working grihasthas, now a major source of contamination and distraction is the worldly association that they have when they are working in their professions. So, if the grihasthas could work together, I say there are a number of grihastha devotees who work together, then what happens is, they are working for earning their livings, but they are working in an environment that is conducive for that spiritual advancement, that is not unfavorable to their spiritual advancement. So this would be an improvised sort of varnashram. It's not exactly varnashram, but the idea is they live in a materially harmonious environment. So some devotees may find that, say, if there are devotees who have inclination of teaching, then a number of devotees may become professors or lecturers in a school, in a college, and then they all have their association together. So they are working in a material job, but they are having devotee association. There are a number of doctors who are together. They may start their own hospital. And then they will have a spiritual environment in which they can practice their material profession. And that way, there can be various professions which can be spiritualized. Now we know that Bhakta Vinod Thakur said that, "I long for the day when the high court judges will be wearing tilak." You know, that is the day when we will see that Krishna consciousness has spread far and wide. So now this is a very significant prophecy for several reasons. First point is that it's very fundamental. That means even if Krishna consciousness spreads far and wide, still we will need to have judges. This is the material world. There will always be people who will commit crime, and there will need to be a system of government. Second point is that he wanted, that means, now to become a judge is a very influential position in society, and to get to that position, one has to work hard, one has to be responsible, one has to be competent. So he expected that there should be materially talented people who become devotees, and then they continue working according to their material talents, and then they rise to the level of judges. Or we reach out to people who are materially influential like judges and make them into devotees. The idea is, Krishna consciousness will not spread very far if we just withdraw from the rest of society. In the name of practicing spiritual life, we withdraw from the rest of society, then Krishna consciousness will not influence society much. Whereas what Bhaktivinoda Thakur is talking about here is society itself becoming reshaped. Srila Prabhupada said, he has written Srimad Bhagavatam, for it is a cultural presentation for the re-spiritualization of society. So if the society is to be re-spiritualized, how will that happen? Actually, people who are materially talented, they will excel materially in whatever fields they are talented in. And as devotees, what we should do is, we should not discourage them, saying, "Hey, this is all Maya. Why do you want to work so hard? Why do you want to earn so much money? Why do you want to do all these things? Just ultimately life is temporary. You have to go beyond. You have to just transcend. To go back to the spiritual world." Yes, that is the ultimate goal. But we also have to live in this world. And in general, people who are materialistic are inspired and influenced by those who are materially successful. So, if there are people who are materially talented, and if they have the talent to become successful in material life, as long as they are not compromising on their spiritual principles, there is no harm, there is only benefit in they becoming a successful material and working for that. See, everybody has a certain level of passion, and that passion cannot be suppressed. If we try to suppress that passion, it will simply come up in ugly ways. Now, for example, if somebody has a lot of talent to do great things, but that person thinks, "Oh, it's all material, it's all temporary, why work so hard?" When somebody else works hard and becomes successful, what happens is, these people, that same ambition, that same pride, now comes up in ugly forms as gossip, as envy. And then they will go around gossiping, that person is like that. Now, why do people spend so much time and energy in gossiping and backbiting? That's because their energy is not channelized in constructive directions. So, giving constructive channels for people for their energy, whose responsibility is that? Is that the spiritual master's responsibility? Well, in today's society, the way our movement has spread, the spiritual master just doesn't have the capacity to examine every single disciple and find out the nature and engage the disciple accordingly. Then we have our local temple, we have our counselors, our spiritual mentors, our guides, and they will surely be of help to us. But ultimately, our spiritual advancement is our responsibility. You know, ultimately, we will make spiritual advancement by Krishna's mercy, by Vaishnava's mercy. But making the spiritual advancement is our responsibility. Like the rope is given down to the person who has fallen in the well. But holding on to the rope so that the person comes out, that is that person's responsibility. Similarly, holding on to the rope means engaging ourselves constructively. That is our responsibility. That is something which every one of us, with the guidance of our seniors, has to discover. So this will be the improvised way in which Varanashram can work out in today's society. Now we can't expect that that somebody will suddenly emerge a self-effulgent acharya and that person will tell, okay, this is how we set up Varanashram. It may happen if that's what Krishna wants. But each of us has to take initiative to find out how we can best serve Krishna. And we don't become, as I said, independent or whimsical or disrespectful while doing our services to Krishna. No, we have to be respectful. We take the guidance and the blessings of our senior devotees. But ultimately, it's our spiritual life. And our life is our offering to Krishna. So Arjuna, he was a warrior. And if we read the Mahabharata, he was certainly a very religious and a devout person, but along with that, he worked hard as a warrior. As a warrior, how he practiced. You know, we all of us know that story that one night the lantern went off and all of them were taking food. And when the lantern went off, and Arjuna kept eating, and he realized, if I can eat at night without the light being present, then I can shoot at night also. You know, why should I, if I am supposed to become an archer, I should become the best archer for Krishna's sake. Then why should I waste the night time? And then he started practicing even at night from there onwards. So we see that Arjuna did not dismiss his archery just as a material skill. Now it was not that Arjuna knew in the future there is going to be a dharma yuddha where I will use my archery for Krishna's sake. He had no idea like that in advance. But he knew my archery is my dharma and I have to do it well. So similarly, as devotees, whatever situations we are in, whatever roles we are playing, whatever duties we are doing, if we do them well, we do them well for Krishna's sake, then we prepare ourselves for whatever future services Krishna will send our way. So in that way, as devotees, we certainly take pride in the fact that, not pride in an arrogant sense, but pride in a grateful sense, we take pride in the fact that we have got the process of Bhakti Yoga, we have got the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra by Prabhupada's mercy, by which we can make spiritual advancement rapidly and return back to Krishna. But at the same time, while we are returning back to Krishna, we should also be using our God-given abilities in ways that will bring glory to Krishna, that will do justice to the talents that Krishna has given us, that will enable us to do good to the world and share Krishna's love with the world. So, I'll conclude with one thought. It is said, what we are is God's gift to us. What we become is our gift to God. So, what we are is God's gift to us. So right now we are at a certain level of sadhana bhakti. We have got the process of devotional service. We have got the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. We have got the association of devotees. That is Krishna's gift to us. Of course, it is also a result of our own past karma, at least at a material level, whatever we are materially. But it is also Krishna's arrangement. But what we become is our gift to Krishna. It's not what we give. Yes, we may give certain things to Krishna. We may do the services, we may give this charity. All that is good. But what Krishna wants is not just what we give, but what we become. What we become is what kind of people we become. You know, there's a lot of emphasis in the Vedic culture on giving charity to dharma. And that is important. But actually, why is there so much importance on giving money to Krishna? Because the idea is, Ultimately, we are meant to give our heart to Krishna. But our heart is caught in so many worldly things. So then the scriptures tell us, if you can't give your heart to Krishna, then give what is in your heart to Krishna. So for most people, what is in their heart is money. So when they give money to Krishna, what happens is they are actually giving a part of their heart to Krishna. They are giving Krishna a place in their heart. And Krishna is so expert that once we give him a place in our heart, he will take over our whole heart.
Sooner or later.
That is Krishna's sweet love for us. But the idea is, ultimately, what we are to give Krishna is not just the things that we are giving. It is what we become. So, what we are is Krishna's gift to us. And by the practice of Varnashram Dharma, where we live materially harmoniously, and by the practice of Sadhana Bhakti, where we make spiritual advancement, by this what we become, that is our gift to Krishna. So, I'll summarize what I discussed, and then we can have a few question answers. So, I started first by talking about how Srila Prabhupada is talking about Varanashram in this purport. And I talked about three meanings of the word dharma. The transcendental dharma is ahaitukya pratihata bhakti. The material dharma is whatever is according to our nature. And the transitional dharma is sadhana bhakti, which takes us from the material level to the spiritual level. And then I discussed about how the cultural and the spiritual can be together or can be in conflict. I talked about the example of prasad, pizza prasad. So pizza is the cultural aspect, prasad is the spiritual principle. And then talked about rock music, how so we have to each of us take inventory, whether the cultural aspect is helping us to remember Krishna or causing us to forget Krishna. Now in Varanashram Dharma, the cultural aspect is the division of society into the four Varanas. So if that is favorable to bhakti, we'll accept it. If that is not favorable, the underlying principle is that everybody serves Krishna according to their talents and their inspirations. So I gave the example of Ishana Prabhu and of the devotees who wanted to standardize book distribution, homogenize book distribution. And Prabhupada said Krishna consciousness, bhakti yoga is devotion service, individual, voluntary and spontaneous. And then lastly, we discussed about how what we are is Krishna's gift to us. And what we become through our Varanashram Dharma duties and through our sadhana bhakti, that is our gift to Krishna. Thank you very much. Are there any questions, any comments?
Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Nice class. I have a few comments. One about dharma. Reverse, Prabhupada translated as prescribed duty. Dharma means prescribed duty.
Yes.
This Varanashram Dharma is like ABCD. I mean, I can give a super speculation. So, Varanashram Dharma is like Bhagavad Gita. Sadhana Bhakti is like Srimad Bhagavatam. And unalloyed devotional service is like Chaitanya Charitamrita.
Okay.
So this Varanashram is ABCD. No matter whether you study in primary school, high school, middle school, high school, college, wherever, the ABCD will follow. Therefore it is called Varana. The ABCD is called Varanamala. Ka, kha, ga, ga, ek, do, tin, char, this is called Varanamala. The Varanamala had to be there up to your last study till you die. Even if you speak Varana. So this Varanashram has two words, Varana and Ashram. Varana is systematic arrangement of society, and Ashram which brings the happiness or peace, which teaches how to be happy or peaceful in society. So I remember one incident in 1979. We had room number 108 where Anantirtha Prabhu is sitting now. That was our conference hall. Prabhupada had just passed away a year or two, and we wanted to do as much as what Prabhupada wanted. So Prabhupada, towards the end, he had two things. One is to establish Varanashram Dharma, and second was BI, Bhakti Vedanta Institute. One point he said, I'll give whole guest house to BI, whole this temple to BI for preaching. So we started discussing about Varnashram Dharma. So the same kind of question came that up to 73, Prabhupada didn't care for Varnashram. Then later on, he talked about Varnashram system. So I think Mahabodhi Prabhu was there, or Amoghil, I don't remember. One of them, they asked this question to Prabhupada, Tamal Krishna Maharaj, that why 365 degree opposite? Till 73 he said, I don't care. He was talking about transcendental thing and blah blah this thing. And later on about Varnashram. Tamal Krishna Maharaj said that when Prabhupada was talking about the transcendental situation, devotee literally took the meaning of whatever he was talking. And they started calling their mother, father, their demon, the scientist as a rascal, and it was creating a havoc. Grihastha were dumping their wife, ready to take sannyas, and then they were falling down. So many things were going on. So Prabhupada said, there is something going wrong. Then he jumped on Varnashram, training, be trained up, brahmachari. And he gave a lecture also here in Bombay on this Varnashram system. Here in Bombay, on 7th canto Bhagavatam, he gave a lecture about Varnashram system, on brahmachari, gurukule, start from there, you know. So he wanted this training, very much training. So sadhana, bhakti, and Varnashram, everybody, even in our body, I'll say the three part. Body, subtle body, and the consciousness, or soul, I can say. So the gross body is like Varnashram. We have Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, and Sudra in body. And then subtle body is there. Prabhuji, I don't feel like coming to Mangala Arati today. That thinking, feeling, willing comes from the mind. That's sadhana bhakti again, which helps body to come for Mangala Arati or class or Guru Puja, whatever. And then soul's natural, you know, tendency to serve Krishna. And the service means, Prabhupada said, ahaituki or pratihata. So in that sense, we can see here, Varnashram is there. So we cannot cross over or leave Varnashram. When we come on transcendental platform, then we can see that a Varnashram is like Mahaprabhu while talking to Rai Ramananda. He said, that's all right. Aage kahar, go on. So, in this whole situation, I think devotee of Krishna consciousness who are in beginning stage, they must value everything following the law of land. Just like, you made a good point, I really like it, that pizza thing, you know, till today I cannot pronounce it, pizza or pizza or whatever, although I like it. So yes, Indian culture, we thought prasadam means lachidana or rice, dal, sabji, that is jilebi or sweet, that is prasadams, prasadam. That's Indian culture. So we must follow the law of our land. I remember once when I was in Vrindavan in 2003, some devotees, they were going for book distribution this time, summer season. So Vaishnava Prabhu, they all like to go Himalaya side because it's cold that side. So they are going, they passed by Suktal, where Sukhdev Goswami spoke Bhagavatam. There are bhandara going on. So the devotee also, they sat down to take prasadam. So they are eating prasadam, they are nice. Puri, halwa, sabji, all these things are going on. Then later on, they are serving Coca-Cola. So all devotees are looking. Our Indian devotee, Iskan devotee, they are looking. And they thought something wrong here. Why are they serving Coca-Cola? So they asked the server, why are they serving Coca-Cola? They said, what do I know? Mr. Desai has come from London. He is doing Bhagavad Satta on his father's name. And he asked us to serve Coca-Cola. So they are serving Coca-Cola. So the devotees, they went to Mr. Desai. They said, this is sinful, this is Coca-Cola. And they asked him, why are you serving Coca-Cola? is such a nice prasadam. Why sarvamo kola? This I said in Hindi. Kya kahun? Mere pitaji Bhagwan Shiv ke bade acche bhakt the. Jab mar rahe the to unko humne bola Babu bolo bhola aur Babu bola Coca Cola. तो बापू का अंतिम डिजायर था. एनीवे दैट वाज ए जोक काइंड ऑफ. बट इवन डिवोटी दे फेल्ट समथिंग रॉन्ग एंड ही मेड ए वेरी गुड पॉइंट ऑन दिस म्यूजिक. व्हाट इज रॉक म्यूजिक? दोज डिवोटी इन द वेस्ट रॉक म्यूजिक डजंट मेक मच डिफरेंस, बट चैंटिंग द हरे कृष्ण महामंत्र मेक्स डिफरेंस. आवर इंडियन डिवोटी टुडे दे आर ट्राइंग टू इमिटेट दैट. They play the jimbo wala, dun 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 dun, this thing. If you hear, you will never hear Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Only your dim 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 dim, all this thing. So I think you made a good point that we must follow the law of land, and that is dharma for us. Thank you.
Thank you, Vikramendra. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Babaji. Hare Krishna.
Yes, Prabhu.
Babaji, as you said that when we preach, we have to encourage. Encourage to serve Krishna. So, as we focus, because as my field is in book distribution, so when I preach, so I focus in this thing that what Prabhupada want. Prabhupada said, if you want to please me, distribute books. Because this is my service. But Prabhupada said somewhere, if you want to please me, then you serve Krishna. And you said you chant sitting 16 rounds. So as Prabhupada said, you know, Varnasram Dharma is last mile. So how Prabhupada gave this, like, this various guidelines to various devotees. So is it Prabhupada saw that particular devotee is fond of book distribution? That is why he said, okay, you want to please me, you do book distribution. Or these are like you chant 16 round sitting in one sit. Then also he said, you know, you love Krishna. So this is what Prabhupada, he gave this instruction as for particular seeing devotees or for general life?
Yes. Exactly. So the question is, Srila Prabhupada encouraged different things at different times. Sometimes he said, please me distribute books. Other times he said, sit at one place and chant. So what exactly does it mean? Are these specific instructions for some devotees or are they for everyone applicable? See, the specific emphasis is for individuals. Although the principle applies for everyone. Everybody should chant properly. Everybody should distribute books as much as possible. But there will definitely be the time-specific aspect in the Acharya's instructions. Why in Acharya's instructions? That is there in Krishna's instructions also. Now when Krishna tells Arjuna in 4.1, Imam Vivasvate Yogam Proktavanaham Avyayam, I give this knowledge to the sun god. So now when Krishna gave the knowledge to the sun god, he would not have spoken this verse at that time, that I gave this knowledge to the sun god. Isn't it? So that is the time specific aspect. So like that, even in Krishna's words, there will be the central aspect. So, some people say that, so we have to always recognize that Acharya's words, there is a central aspect and there is a contextual aspect. So, the central aspect of Krishna consciousness is becoming Krishna conscious. Srila Prabhupada said that what will please me most is if you love Krishna. Now, one very powerful way of developing our love for Krishna is by sharing Krishna's message with others, that is distributing books. But there can be other ways also. And the most important thing that we focus on is how we feel inspired and how our authorities guide and bless us so that we can serve Krishna. So we can be very enthused and inspired and motivated for what is our definition of success in Krishna consciousness. But we shouldn't impose our definition on others. Somebody is not doing book distribution, that doesn't mean that person is not pleasing Srila Prabhupada. That person may be pleasing in a different way. So that is the whole idea of Varnashram is different people have different definitions of success.
For a Kshatriya, the definition of success is radically different from what is for a Brahmana. Although both may be devotees and both may be practicing spiritual life, but still the definitions of success are different. So like that, within ISKCON also Srila Prabhupada encouraged diversity in the definition of success within the broad umbrella of Krishna consciousness. Okay? Any other questions? Yes, Nimai Tai Pro.
Prabhuji, you mentioned towards the end of this class that how a person should be encouraged. And then you gave example that those people, we have a set of few people who will join full time and serve, and there will be a huge group of people who will be living family life and working in society, and then there will be devotional also. So, and then you explained that how the danger is there of being in this contaminating environment while working. So I was just thinking that even presently, when more or less we are not emphasizing so much this aspect of encouraging people in whatever duties they are doing outside, to do that also nicely, and then gradually we'll be able to offer it to Krishna. And even in this scenario, we see that people quite easily they are getting swayed once they land into some responsible jobs, some good paying jobs or some positions. So it becomes very, very difficult for them to come regularly to temple and chant regularly. And even if they are chanting there at their home, they are chanting regularly. So then I was just thinking that in case we encourage them, then how to strike the balance that's yet encouraging them to go forward in their ambitions, at the same time keeping them devotional and devotees and actually serving the mission. Because that is how our society is going to be, with less brahmachari and more grihasthas, Prabhupada.
Yes. So if you encourage people to be responsible materially, then often they spend so much time and energy in that they can't even practice spiritual life basically. So how do we encourage them for a balance? Actually, Krishna describes in the 18th chapter that one of the characteristics of the mode of ignorance is to make one thing everything. Yattu krishnavad ekasmin karye saktama haitukam atatvarthavadalpamcha atamisamudarutam. He says that when you take one thing and make that yattu krishnavad ekasmin, we make it into everything. That is a characteristic of tamoguna. So there is the influence of rajoguna and tamoguna. So rajoguna means people will work hard extremely to achieve material things. But when tamoguna influences them, then they make their material life, and not just their material life, but their specific material ambitions into everything. And this is a problem not just for devotees, it is a problem for non-devotees also. Now even non-devotees, just to become successful in their life, in their careers, they neglect not only their health, they neglect their families, their spouses, their children, and many families fall apart because of that. So that is not just happening because of the contamination specifically, that it is not just because they are doing their worldly duties. It is because the whole atmosphere is so tamasic today. So people who have these problems of being unbalanced, they will have this problem not just in balancing material and spiritual life, they will have the problem balancing the various aspects of material life also. So the whole aspect of balance will come through education, by which people come to the mode of goodness. That's why when we are offering our spiritual education, we emphasize that although our goal is transcendence, people have to function in the mode of goodness. So even when they are working in their material lives, they are not just working in passion, they are working in ignorance in many ways. Ignorance in terms of making one thing into everything. Then they will not be happy even in material life. They may achieve the top goals, but they will be lonely, they will be lost. That's what happens. When people just forget everything else and just focus on one aspect of their life and thinking that that will be everything, they become successful in their careers, but they are divorced, there are custody battles for their children, between the spouses, and their life is overall miserable. So this is a trend of this age. And the challenge is balance. So the balance will come through education and individual choice, individual maturity. So we cannot demand it from people, But if we offer the proper education of how, that means our goal is transcendence, but overall we need to live in goodness. Only then we will be happy materially also. See, even a Kshatriya has to have some level of goodness. Even a Shudra, if the Shudra is following Varnashram Dharma, the fact that the Shudra is following Varnashram Dharma indicates that there is some level of goodness even in Shudra. Because if there were no goodness indicates that one is adhering to scripture. So if there is no goodness, then the Shudra would not even follow Shastra. And that would be completely a materialistic, godless, atheistic Shudra. But Shudra, Vaishya, these are also parts of Varnashram culture. When are they parts? When they have some level of goodness. So that's why, say, discouraging people from being materially enterprising is not the solution. Because that will only choke their passion. Now, of course, the other problem is if we encourage them too much, their passion will choke them. So, if they choke their passion or their passion chokes them. So what is the balance? The balance will come through goodness. That's why at a basic level, we have to very strongly emphasize the practice of sadhana bhakti. And it's not really that when people have to achieve success materially also, it's not that it has to consume their entire life. But there are people for generations together, for centuries together, there always have been successful people, isn't it? Now is it that all the successful people in the past ages, they didn't have their family lives, they did not have their spiritual lives? They had it. So balance is possible. They just need examples for that. So first there has to be some basic training, then there are some devotees who are examples of that, and then from their example others will also follow that example. So it's possible that, you know, there is, Bhaktivinoda Thakur said that, you know, there is the sadhana, there is the family, and there is the job. So all these three have to be balanced. And how does one do that? That will vary according to person to person. But everyone has to learn his own balance. Tena tektena bhunjitha. So that will be, we again cannot, as I said, standardize or homogenize that. Every person will practice spiritual life. See, what we do in Bhakti Yoga is we provide a pathway for people to return back to Krishna. Now at what speed they will go on that pathway, that will depend on them. You know, some people will go fast, some people will go slowly. But we encourage everybody to keep moving forward on that path. Okay? Thank you very... Yeah? Quickly.
Is there Raji? Small question.
Yeah.
That you mentioned that how in Vedic times, class would be made not on the basis of birth, but according to their inclinations and propensities. So, Prabhuji, how would they determine a Shudra or a Vaishya, a child who is just born? So, how would they determine that what training he'll, you know, adhere to, what he is like, what is his nature? How do you determine that?
Yes. So, in Vedic times, if the division of Varnashram was not by birth, but by qualities and inclination, then how was that determined? Traditionally, the Varnas would be determined by birth also. Why? Because if, say, a Brahmana and a Brahmani unite, then the soul that is born from their womb will, by the arrangement of nature, be of a Brahmanical inclination. And similarly for the other Varnas also. So that was the normal way. It was not the only mandatory thing. A Chandogya Upanishad talks about Satyakama Vajjabali, who was born from a society woman, but he was considered to be a Brahmana because he was truthful. So there are exceptions. But the norm was that people born in a particular family would normally have the inclinations of their parents. But there were systems. You know, if somebody exhibited extraordinary talents, then there will be the elders in the village who would observe. Bhakti, in our tradition, in the Gaudiya Sampradaya, Rupa Goswami in the Bhakti Sama Sindhu doesn't talk about Varnashram as a limb of bhakti. But the first acharya to talk about Varnashram and integrating it with sadhana bhakti is Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And he talks about Vaigyanik Varnashram, scientific Varnashram. And he says that actually in every village there should be a committee of wise elders. And they should observe all the children in society. Because he says in today's society there have been so much intermixing between the various castes that the traditional lineages are no longer guaranteed to bring children of those particular varanas alone. So therefore, there has to be observation by a panel of village elders of the children, and then by observing carefully, discussing with the parents, evaluating the children, then their varana can be assigned. And it used a quite elaborate system for that. So essentially that is based on what was done earlier also. Traditionally, the children of a particular family would belong to the varana of that family. But if it was not, then the village elders would decide that. Thank you very much. Grantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki jai, Gaur Premanande. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.